B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Ninja is leaving Twitch.
This is crazy.
Welcome into Checkpoint. Welcome to Checkpoint XP Daily for July 25th, 2019. Your home for esports and gaming. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, the Game Boy has turned 30 this week, and we're going to talk about it. It's like one of the most influential systems ever. Plus, Norris is trying for the first time to make an on-air game for us here today.
Pray for me, y'all.
Let's see how he does.
Pray for me.
Those conversations are ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But we start today
with loot boxes.
No, with Ninja.
Oh, right, yeah.
Ninja has announced his departure from the Twitch platform. And now I know what you're thinking. What is he going to be making his jump to? Network daytime television? Is he going to a cable talk show? Nay! He's going over to the competitor. Mixer.
And the day before his Lollapalooza stream, which will now happen there.
Yeah. That's
Dang.
Pretty crazy.
Now, that is a big middle finger to Twitch.
It kind of is. I feel like that's definitely burning a bridge with Twitch.
You know, he's already lost his verified checkmark on his Twitch channel.
It's the fastest Twitch has ever done anything about anything ever.
Yeah,
this seems a little personal at this point.
Yeah, and so essentially what has happened at around earlier in the day, Ninja, you know, all week had been teasing a big announcement that he would be
pretty
making.
Much ever since the World Cup.
That's right. Ever since the World Cup, he had been teasing that a big announcement was coming. Again, an indicator of how long this had been in the works, at least to the, you know, public, but definitely long before then as well. And eventually the bomb was dropped in a very roundabout, bizarre, strange video.
Well, he had a video where he's doing a press conference in costume. He's asking himself all these questions.
Yeah, it was quite bizarre. But essentially, the announcement was made that he would be moving his stream exclusively to Mixer
to get back to his roots.
Well, now,
what made him fall in love with gaming?
Now, I have so many questions.
So you mean money?
I have so many questions here. the first thing is, Mixer, really? Like, I could understand, okay, making a jump to something that has a bigger platform, more mass appeal, right?
What are your options? YouTube gaming.
Sure.
Facebook gaming.
Yes.
And Mixer.
Mixer. Well, there's also caffeine.
Those are the... And Twitch. Those ones are the four, the big ones.
That's fair.
To give you an idea of just how big, according to a Kotaku article, which referenced data from Stream Elements, Twitch has 72% of the streaming hours watched. Mixer has 3%.
Now, of course, this is a big coup for Microsoft.
Oh, for sure. You know, Microsoft wins out the biggest in all
absolutely.
Of this.
Microsoft owns Mixer, if you didn't know. And so, you know, if you kind of follow the logic, 3% of the total viewing audience is not nearly enough for a company as big, prestigious, and, you know, money-driven as Microsoft
but
is.
The issue is that this is a coup from Mixer.
Totally.
Trying to get much more of the market share. And the real big question is, number one, how much viewership share is Ninja actually worth? I think that's the big question that we don't know yet. I mean, we could pull up metrics and talk about how much he pulled in on average. But until we do the math ourselves and say, this is how many people would be viewing him yearly.
Yeah.
Number one, are any of them going to Mixer? I think it's possible to say some, but is it going to be a big enough cohort.
Yeah, all 15 million followers, because that's just anyone who hit that heart button at any time over the past however long he's been streaming, right?
Yeah.
Not all those people watch anymore. In fact, he's actually, I was actually surprised to find out that he's only the 11th, like as far as subs go, largest streamer on Twitch.
That doesn't surprise
me. At about 15K subs, with Shroud being nearly 40K himself.
His peak was like, what, a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago, when he was, you know, really, really raking in money from subs.
We're talking like a 250,000 subs at that time.
Yeah. And to that end, you know, Twitch was really kind of putting this out, putting this guy out there as sort of the face of Twitch. And for as much good press as he was doing for his own brand, he was also doing good press for not just Twitch, but just the overall notion
of
game streaming, and he was shown as, you know, a mainstream success at this. So if you can't sit here and tell me, Robbie, that Shroud, even though he may have more subscribers, has more mass market, mass appeal than Ninja does. Ninja's the only one out of any of us that have been on the cover of ESPN Magazine. He's been on CNBC.
And let's be clear about something. They're not just paying Ninja to come stream on Mixer. Ninja is their marketing ad right there. Everybody's talking about it. Whether you're going to watch him or not does not matter.
Well, Mixer has now officially made themselves a part of the conversation.
Period.
Yes. And I think that that's a brilliant move on the part of Mixer. And I have to wonder how much money Microsoft had to lay out on the table in order to get this job done.
Yeah, I really do. I really think that's the big thing. I really think the big thing is that, you know, we got to look at the money.
Yeah.
We got to look at the money.
Sure. Absolutely. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. We're currently talking about Ninja's big move over to Mixer and what this could mean for the state of streaming, what this could mean for the state of the industry. And this is a hugely important move.
Exactly. And that's my next big question is, with this move and knowing that there's some sort of, I don't want to say knowing, but going with the assumption that there's a lot of money that's being exchanged here.
Sure.
That there may be, you know.
We don't know.
We haven't seen the contract. No details have been released.
No details, yes.
There was just the announcement. But if we operate from the assumption that ink has been put to paper and money will be exchanged, right? Because that's the only way I see something like this being possible or mattering.
Right, because you're essentially having to build your channel all over again.
Exactly. Yeah. So moving forward with that, this creates the precedent now for streamers to be viewed as a commodity, for streamers to be viewed in the same way that professional athletes are, or even esports athletes are, or better yet, movie and film stars are.
But I'm so curious on what that deal has to look like to Ninja in order for him to go, oh yeah, yeah, I see the value here. Well, I mean, first of all, they're going to have to compensate him pretty much at the rate that he was being compensated from Twitch through subs, right? Like, they've got a guarantee.
That's not going to be hard, though.
Right, exactly. Like, that money goes from fluctuating based on how many subs you have, and now Microsoft has solidified that, and this is your income.
It's got to be bigger than that, though.
Exactly.
It's got to be bigger than what he was getting.
It's not just going to be what he's going to be getting from those subscribers. It's going to be more than that. To make this offer truly appealing, because, again, if we know anything about Ninja, we know that this is a guy who knows and understands the value of his own personal brand. It's got to be way more than that, because he understands how much he's going to be worth in 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the road. So I got to think that this is a big, big ball of money that has been set, or opportunities, whatever it is, money or opportunities that Microsoft and Mixer has set in front of this kid to make him go, yes, this is absolutely the right move for my pocketbook, for my career, for my family, and for everything else that my brand stands for.
And this is still not counting, you know, whatever revenue he would be getting from subs, which will happen with, you know, super chats or whatever. I forget the name that they use for it in Mixer, but essentially donations, super chats, whatever.
Right. Yeah.
All that stuff. That's not even counting that stuff. So we don't even know if there's something like, hey, we won't take as big of a cut of that. This deal could be so huge and so significant, because it has to be to get Ninja to remove himself from the largest streaming platform on Earth.
Yeah.
Literally, according to the numbers, virtually the only place people watch streaming, to go to Mixer, which is a complete non-factor as it stands right
imagine
now.
Imagine the potential fan backlash as well, because there is going to be something in there. Because when it comes to streaming platforms, Twitch users and Mixer users can be very polarized.
Imagine this. Hey, I invested in Amazon Prime because of your channel.
Hey,
and now it's worthless to me.
I had a 2-year sub badge over there. Does that mean nothing to you?
Exactly.
Yep. So again, this brings back the argument of how many people are going to be going. And I think for Mixer's sake, I think they say the difference is going to be big enough to where it's not going to matter.
Yeah.
But I am curious to see, is this the last streamer we see this week?
No!
Because this is not the
last. Of course not!
This is not the last time we'll see this.
No!
So who's going to be the next to move? Who's going to be the next to understand that value?
Not just the next to move. Does Twitch respond to this? How do they respond? Or does it take more streamers
being sniped?
I'll say this. If they lock down Dr. Disrespect to an exclusivity deal, they would get so much backlash.
He's the second biggest streamer on Twitch.
But that's
right
what
now.
I'm saying. Mm-hmm. It has to be somebody like that. And if it's anybody besides Shroud, then you got the whole argument of how problematic it is.
So. All right. Well, we want to hear from you. Who do you think is going to be the next exclusive person to get signed over to Mixer? Will it be Dr. Disrespect? Will it be Shroud? Will it be Dr. Lupo? Will it be your favorite streamer? Connect with us and let us know on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. And if you're a streamer, what would Mixer have to lay out for you in order to get you to jump ship over to their platform? Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, Norris has got a brand new game for us to check out. Norris, do you have a name for this game?
It's called Who's That Character?
Oh, okay. So Who's That Character will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, the Game Boy is turning 30. Aw, I'm only 4 years older than the Game Boy. Yes, I am. We're going to talk about that next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Does the name Gunpei Yokoi mean anything to you?
It means something to me.
It should. He's the creator of the Game Boy, which turned 30 this week. Welcome back into Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. Want to thank everyone listening on the heartbeat of East Texas, 104.3 in Carthage, 103.9 in Marshall, as well as 1250 ESPN San Antonio, and the Zone 1150. Checkpoint XP Daily is now a part of the B-Pod Network at bpodstudios.com. For more great listening options like Inside the Ropes, a weekly look inside wrestling in the WWE, and Talkin' Rock with Meltdown, an interview and music news podcast, go to bpodstudios.com, the place to be for podcast discovery. The Game Boy turned 30 this week, which makes me feel real old.
Super old.
Super old.
You're so old.
And, you know, there's a lot that the video game industry owes to the Game Boy, which was really kind of discounted early on as sort of like, you know, just an inferior video game system, but really brought video games to handhelds in a way that, you know,
Nintendo did mobile gaming first.
Yeah, the Tiger Electronics never really satisfied anyone, right?
That's right. And so just to, you know, give some quick stats, July 31st, 1989 was essentially, Robbie, you're right, the birth of the handheld games market proper. That's when the Game Boy was released here in the United States. Of course, it was released a few months earlier in April in Japan.
Now there was other handheld video games. Obviously, I just mentioned Tiger Electronics, but Nintendo even had the Game & Watch series
early on.
That was also part, I believe that was also the brainchild of Gunpei Yokoi.
It was, and the thing is that, but what I mean by the handheld gaming market proper,
yes,
is this was the first time that a handheld gaming device had massive market penetration.
And had titles that were as satisfying to play on the Game Boy as some of their other iterations were on the NES. And specifically, you know, there was like Super Mario Land, I believe.
That's
it was.
Right.
There was, you know, a lot of these platformers.
Link's Awakening.
And they recreated some of the best parts of the gameplay of NES games at the time, but they did something that's really important. It wasn't just a translation of what already existed as a Nintendo game. They were completely new projects with new stories to tell, new levels to play. They were their own thing.
That's right.
One word for me. Pokemon.
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 That changed the game. That changed the whole handheld market.
It changed everything.
And even in the past 30 years as well, who, or at any point, was there even anyone who even remotely contested with the handheld market?
No. Not properly.
As a title like Pokemon?
No. Or the Game Boy. Even just the Game Boys. Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
You have your diehards of people who are like, well, you know, the Vita had the potential, right? Like, as a piece of hardware, sure.
It actually took, I think, until the PSP to have another handheld system that really seriously took a run at the Game Boy line of hardware.
No, the only person that beat the Game Boy was the next Game Boy. That was it. But Nate, at the beginning, we talked about Gunpei Yokoi, the creator of the Game Boy, and his story, I think, is very interesting, and it's sort of inextricably linked to the Game Boy in this development. Another thing a lot of people don't know, did you know Gunpei Yokoi invented the 4-way D-pad?
I did not know that.
Really?
Yeah. I did not know that.
So, more than just handhelds, we pretty much own, like controllers.
Yeah, absolutely.
To Gunpei Yokoi at this point.
And, you know, the story of Gunpei Yokoi is so fascinating because he did, you know, he helped develop the Game & Watch series, helped develop the Game Boy, was one of the most successful pieces of hardware in the company's history, was one of the most well-respected members of the Nintendo Corporation. And then he pursued a vision that did not go well, the Virtual Boy.
And
after that, he was window seated at the company. He wasn't really allowed to pursue the vision that he had previously been able to. And tragically, he died in a car accident. He got hit by a car.
Sure did.
Oh, it is one of the saddest stories in gaming. But, you know, we can't talk about the Game Boy without talking about Gunpei Yokoi. So hats off to Gunpei Yokoi. You're listening to Checkpoint XP, Esports, and Gaming Radio. We're currently, you know, kind of just talking about the Game Boy, celebrating the fact that it's been around for 30 years, again, being released July 31st, 1989. And I really want to go back to how influential a game like Pokemon ended up becoming to all of handheld gaming. And what was so unique about it was that it used features of the Game Boy that most games didn't bother to even look into. The link cable. This was something that was one of the earliest, you know, pieces of peripherals that ended up becoming absolutely 110% necessary for any fan of the Pokemon game that wanted to have a full Pokedex.
No, it's completely true. And the best part about the link cable, beyond just the trading of Pokemon, it helped reemphasize the sort of communal nature of handheld gaming as an idea.
Yes.
And that's the part that I think the Game Boy and the subsequent Game Boys that came after it really began more and more to lean into. This is a pre-internet era. This was a pre-mass media, mass information era. So a lot of the rumors and the, you know, game stuff that you got, you were getting from magazines or you were getting from your buddies.
Word of mouth.
So, word of mouth. So stuff like Mew and Missing No and all that stuff.
Even
these were
trying
urban legends before they were ever real things, really, when it came to putting stuff out in the gaming press. And the link cable and stuff like that became a vital part of how you began to really grow and discover some of those urban legends. So I think the Game Boy did a lot more for gaming more than just being able to go out and take your games with you.
Right.
It was one of the first times that gaming became communal on a total social type of thing. It was more than just you invite your buddies over. No, you didn't stop.
Yeah. Well, and to speak to the power of like a single title, you know, whenever a new console or something comes out, we talk about what's on it, what's your launch titles, why am I buying it? And I don't think that any of us would buy a console for a single game. There's got to be more than that.
Oh, they did for the Game Boy.
I only played Pokemon on the original Game Boy. That's the only game I ever owned.
Bruh, do you know what the first massive game on the Game Boy was?
Tetris.
Tetris.
Everyone played Tetris.
Everybody played Tetris,
yeah.
And Tetris moved units.
Yep.
It moved that console by itself.
Yeah. It was, when it started, it really was kind of considered a mobile Tetris machine, and it really did fly off the shelves because of that. And you don't think, like, you don't ever think Tetris is a great launch title, but back in 1989, it absolutely was.
Absolutely.
We want to hear from you. Share some of your favorite memories of the Game Boy. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Did you own any of the offshoots? Did you own, like, you know, one of the Neo Geo Pockets or God forbid an N-Gage? We want to hear about that too. Again, Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily, Norris has got a brand new game. What's the name of it again?
It's called Who Dat Character.
Who Dat Character is ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Who's that character?
Who dat?
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on ESPN Central Texas, KZRI in KTON in Waco, Texas, as well as ESPN 97.5 in Houston. You've been asking for it, and it's finally here. Checkpoint XP merch is officially available. We got shirts, hats, hoodies, and mugs for Checkpoint XP, Not Your Player 2, and Low Team Damage. Check it out over at CheckpointXP.com/shop. Norris is filling in over at Joe's position today, and interestingly enough, he's brought us a game to play.
He really is trying to be the new Joe.
That is right. If I got to be Joe, I'm going all the way, at least as it pertains to the creation of the show.
So, okay.
Well, hold on. I have an important question then. Does that mean this game's going to suck?
Yeah. How bad is this game going to fail?
Listen, I don't know. I don't know.
At least you're
I
honest.
I appreciate your honesty.
All right,
but it's called Who Dat Character. What
okay.
I'm going to do is I am going to read off a quote from a character. All right.
This is like a spoken piece of dialogue.
Or text. Or text.
Yeah.
Yes, it will be.
Are you going to do voices? When appropriate.
Nice. Actually, for some I can't because it'll give it away.
Fair enough.
So
okay.
For some I can't.
All right.
But There's going to be 1 point for if you guess the game. It has to be the exact game, no series, the exact game.
Okay.
All right. Or you have the opportunity to steal.
Okay.
All right. You will get 2 points for the exact character, and you will get 5 to who they for who they said it to in the context.
Ooh. Okay. Okay. So, okay. Interesting.
I am going to start with Nate. They're going to get progressively more difficult. Nate.
Okay.
The first quote is try a somersault.
Try
a somersault.
Try a somersault.
Try a somersault. You have 10 seconds.
Jeez. I don't know. It's so generic. I feel like it could be a part of any game.
And you still got a few? Oh, that's time. Robbie, would you like to steal?
Idiot.
Would you like to steal?
No, because I have no idea. Either.
You guys are both ridiculous. Try a somersault. Try a somersault. Peppy Hare from Star Fox 64.
Okay.
That's done. All right.
If you had said, do a barrel roll, I probably would have been able to get that one.
Oh, I'm not picking the obvious ones.
Great.
All right, Robbie.
So we're both, this is going to be real fantastic because this is going to be a game that we both lose the entire time.
Nope, it's going to get better. Robbie, this is going towards you. I need scissors, 61.
I'm just going to play it right now.
Ugh, idiot.
Are you giving up?
Yep.
Nate, would you like to steal?
I would like to steal.
All right.
That is the AI of Arsenal Gear impersonating Colonel Campbell talking to Raiden from Metal Gear Solid 2.
That is correct. Five-pointer.
Full points over here, baby.
Pointer.
Do I get bonus for the steal?
You get 6.
Yeah!
A game that I played once eons ago.
You get 6.
I don't know how you do not remember I Need Scissors 61.
I don't remember anything about
that game. That is the most laughed at line in the entire game.
Because it's
the only
absurd.
Thing I remember it from is. That game is that one of the bosses was a fat dude on roller skates.
Fair enough.
That's fair.
Fair enough. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. We're playing a brand new game called Who Dat Character. Norris brought this to the show because Joe's not here, and
so
it's
to make a game.
So far it's not doing too bad. All right, is it back to me?
It's back to Robbie because you stole.
Because you stole. Nice.
All right, so Robbie, this is for you. Is submission not preferable to extinction?
Character. Crap. I know what it is, and I know the series. I'm going to say Mass Effect 1, and that is Sovereign to Commander Shepard.
You get 1 point for the game. It is actually Saren, and Mass Effect 1. So you only get 1 point.
I did get who he was talking to, correct?
You only get 1 point for that.
I was going to say, no, you told me
points. I like this game.
Hold on.
I'm a fan of this.
Points for guessing the game. Points for guessing the character.
Yeah,
points for guessing who they're talking to.
There's a reason why I made it sequentially, Robbie. You have to get.
All right,
you have
I'm
to
just saying you didn't say that it has to be in those orders because I got who they were talking to. Right,
you have to crawl before you can walk. All right, so Nate, this is going back to you.
Okay.
Moms are tough.
Oh, okay. So it's from Final Fantasy 13, I believe. That is what Snow says to Hope after he loses his mom.
You get 1 point.
Oh.
You get 1 point.
Only one.
The correct game, Final Fantasy 13,
okay.
It is Hope's mom talking to Hope.
Oh, right. That's right before she dies.
That's right.
Yeah, you're right.
So, right now, I will give an update on the score. Nate, you are in the lead with a whopping 7 points to Robbie's abysmal, dismal, pathetic 1 point.
I've only played half these games.
First of all, hang on. No, I like this game. This is way better than anything Joe's brought to the table.
All right.
I'm all for this.
So the next quote, this is going to Robbie. Robbie, handsome fighters never lose battles.
That's going to be Vega from Street Fighter 2.
5-pointer.
Oh!
I'll allow it.
He says it to the player?
Yeah, I'll allow it because he just says it.
Fair
you
enough.
Know, at the end battle.
Yeah, that's a victory.
I'll allow it.
Okay.
So that's a five-pointer, Robbie. He's caught up instantly. Instantaneously,
but it's not a tie. I'm still one in it.
It's not a tie. You are still up.
That's right.
So, this is going to you, Nate. Next quote.
All right.
It might come handy if you, the master of unlocking, take it with you.
Oh, geez. The master of unlocking. It's not even a phrase I recognize. Nah, I got to pass. I don't know it.
Robbie, you can steal.
Can you give me the quote again, please?
It might come in handy if you, the master of unlocking, take it with you.
I don't know that I know the character, but I have a guess as to the game. Final Fantasy VI?
That is incorrect, sir.
Ooh.
That is Barry Burton in Resident Evil 1 talking to Jill Valentine.
Oh, okay, I've never played RE1.
Yeah. All right.
That was one that was so bad that I never even played it.
Yeah, yes. Got to know your audience. Or your contestants.
This is the point.
All right, we got 1 minute left. This is the final.
One minute left. Nate, this is for you.
Okay.
War is when the young and stupid are tricked by the old and bitter into killing each other.
Just for the sake of time, I do not know that off the top of my head, so I'm going to give the opportunity
to Robbie. Would you like to steal?
Robbie, you could get the victory here.
Is that another Metal Gear game?
That is incorrect. I'm stopping you now because it's wrong. It's Niko Bellic from GTA 4.
Oh!
Yep. No, I recall the quote.
Yeah,
yep.
That's something you should have known.
Yep.
Yeah, and to be fair, something I should have known.
Because I know
well.
You love 4.
So the final verdict is?
That's right. We got Robbie with 6 points and Nate with 7 points.
That's our winner.
I'm calling shenanigans because the sequential ruling halfway through. Come on.
Boo. We want to hear from you. How many of these quotes were you able to get? Did you like Norris's game? Who dat character? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. That's going to do it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show in esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website, checkpointxp.com, for insight on esports and gaming, as well as a full archive of episodes, podcasts, and interviews. If you go over there now, there was an article I put up earlier today about the whole ninja thing. You can get some more links and the actual video where he announces it. You can check that all out, available over at checkpointxp.com. Join us Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern, live at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Producing and booking help from Christine Solis. And, of course, my co-host who pulled double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP. Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and even though he's not here, Joe Sloan, my name's Nate Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.